एडिलेड स्थित ऑस्ट्रेलियाई आर्टिस्ट पीटर ड्र्यू ने एक नई मुहिम छेड़ दी है, पूरे ऑस्ट्रेलिया भर में हाथ से बने 1000 पोस्टर्स चिपकाने की। पीटर के अनुसार उनकी मुहिम यह जानने के लिए है कि क्या एक ऑस्ट्रेलियाई होने की पहचान उन लोगों की वजह से है जिन्होंने व्हाइट ऑस्ट्रेलिया नीति को जारी किया, या फिर यह पहचान उन लोगों की सौगात है जिन्होंने इसे बर्दाश्त किया।
My artwork turned towards Australian identity a few years ago while I was living in Glasgow. I think living away from home made me think a lot more about what it means to belong and what it means to be Australian. I thought about what I liked about Australian identity and also what I'd like to see change. And so it was particularly Australia's immigration policy and our treatment of asylum seekers that I thought was sort of incongruous with our image of ourselves as being a friendly, welcoming nation. So my artwork has turned to that subject, and that was probably expressed most strongly last year of the project I did called Real Australians Say Welcome. So I stuck up 1,000 posters around Australia that said Real Australians Say Welcome. And it was inspired by our national anthem. There's specific lines in the Australian national anthem that talk about us having boundless plains to share for those who come across the seas. I thought that didn't really fit with the way we were still are treating asylum seekers. And so it was during that project that I started to think about Australia's history and what it means to be Australian and Aussiness, and what gets included in Australian mythology. Things such as the Anzacs and what have you, and the things that get excluded from Australian mythology, things like the Camelias.
पीटर के पोस्टर्स ऑस्ट्रेलिया की विविधता को दर्शाते हैं, खास तौर पे ऑस्ट्रेलिया के औपनिवेशिक अतीत में भारतीय उपमहाद्वीप से आए ऊंटवानों के योगदान को। यह ऊंटवान 1850 के दशक में ऑस्ट्रेलिया में शुरू हो रहे विल्स एंड बर्क एक्सपीडिशन में ऊंटों के साथ तब के ब्रिटिश साम्राज्य के भारत के पूर्वी इलाकों और अफगानिस्तान से आए।
The Camelias were mostly from India and Afghanistan and Pakistan as well. There's a large amount of Camelias over a 70-year period sort of helping to develop the outback. But that, for some reason, gets left out of Australian mythology. And I thought it was a very interesting part of our history.
भारत और अफगानिस्तान से लाए गए ये ऊंट और ऊंटवान आने वाले कई दशकों तक मदद करते रहे यहाँ बसे यूरोपीय निवासियों की ऑस्ट्रेलिया के एक कोने से दूसरे कोने तक सामान ढोने, चिट्ठियां ले जाने और ग्रामीण क्षेत्रों में हर रोज इस्तेमाल होने वाला कपड़ा तथा परचून पहुंचाने में लगे रहे ये लोग। यूनिवर्सिटी ऑफ न्यू साउथ वेल्स में हिस्ट्री की प्रोफेसर कामा मैकलीन के अनुसार
A lot of the Camelias who came to Australia, again, before 1900, were absolutely fundamental in ferrying, you know, goods and produce around Australia in a time before, you know, mass transport of any kind, including the rail. So they were absolutely fundamental to establishing rural and remote settlements and economies, if you like. And they gradually became redundant in the early 1900s once railway tracks did start to become much more of a phenomenon in rural Australia. They were also fundamental to the exploration of various parts of Australia as well.
इन ऊंटवानों को ऑस्ट्रेलिया में घुसने और काम करने की इजाजत मिलने की कहानी भी कुछ कम दिलचस्प नहीं है। 1850 से 1900 तक भारतीय ऊंटवान ऑस्ट्रेलियाई महाद्वीप के उपनिवेशिक राज्यों में उनकी अलग अलग नीतियों के आधार पर कम संख्या में पर आसानी से आ जा सकते थे, परंतु ऑस्ट्रेलिया के फेडरेशन बनते ही 1901 में व्हाइट ऑस्ट्रेलिया पॉलिसी या इमिग्रेशन रिस्ट्रिक्शन एक्ट लागू कर दिया गया। इस नीति के अंतर्गत ऑस्ट्रेलिया में अश्वेतों के घुसने पर एक तरह की पाबंदी सी हो गई। सिर्फ वह लोग जो अंग्रेजी या कुछ चुनी हुई यूरोपीय भाषाओं में एक लिखित एवं बोलने का इम्तिहान पास कर सकते थे ऑस्ट्रेलिया में अभिनंदित थे।
So the dictation test was the manner in which the White Australia policy was administered in such a fashion as to preclude the entry of people who were non-white but could speak English as well, which of course many Indians could do. It was an attempt to try and effectively filter the immigration of non-white peoples to Australia by giving them a test that they could not possibly pass. There was an enormous amount of discretion relating to the test. An administration officer was posted at a port and would ask each immigrant as they came off the boat and make a judgment about whether this person should be subjected to the test or not. And so, of course, anybody who was not visibly white would be subjected to the language test. The language test was administered in a European language, and I've seen some of the examples of sentences, passages really, that people had to write out in Swedish, German, Dutch, or any of the other sort of European languages that a non-white person would be unlikely to actually understand. There's a famous case of one Indian being given, I think, three different tests because he kept on passing them because he knew European languages. So there were ways and means of getting around it, but of course, by and large, it was administered in such a way as to preclude non-white entry to Australia.
परंतु भारतीय ऊंटवानों ने इस डिक्टेशन टेस्ट को ना देने और ऑस्ट्रेलिया में काम करने का तरीका भी ढूंढ निकाला.
From asylum in Australia before 1900, they were granted right of recognition of domicile. And according to that, they were allowed to leave India and return to Australia with what was called a certificate exempting them from the dictation test. That only applied to Indians who had come to Australia before 1900. There were probably about 7,000 of those in 1900, but the numbers depleted quickly to about 3,000 by about 1930 or so, because many Indians did return home and didn't come back.
1901 के बाद धीरे धीरे यातायात के माध्यमों में उन्नति के साथ ही इनुटवानों को संदेह की नज़र से देखा जाने लगा और ऑस्ट्रेलिया के कुछ श्वेत निवासियों का अब मानना था कि उन्हें इनुटवानों की कोई आवश्यकता नहीं है. पर पीटर मानते हैं कि कई दशकों की मेहनत और आर्थिक योगदान के बाद भी मांगो खान जैसे ऊंटवान और हजारों लोग जो ऑस्ट्रेलिया को बनाने के काम में लगे थे आज भुला दिए गए हैं. उनकी यह मुहिम ऐसे उन तमाम लोगों की ऑस्ट्रेलियाई होने की भावना को सलाम है.
Because of the white Australia policy, we have photographs of a lot of these people. Because in order to come to Australia and then return to their place of birth and come back, they had to apply for exemptions, and so they had photographs taken. And once you have a photograph of a person from 100 years ago, it's like a little time capsule. You can, you know, look right into their eyes, and it's a sort of an amazing experience. So that's, once I found the photographs, I realized that would be a great poster project. And the reason I picked Monga Khan is because I really liked his photograph. He had sort of a regal, almost sort of heroic look to him, which is a great place to start if you're going to have a sort of a visual campaign. But also the reason I picked him is because he's not famous. He's not known for doing anything in particular. He's sort of an ordinary person, and because of that, because of what we don't know about him, it leaves room for our imagination. He can sort of be a symbol for lots of different types of people. Because I didn't really want to make this specific to one particular place. Because I can imagine Monga Khan came from Afghanistan, but the Kamilias came from all sorts of places. And in Australia's immigration policy at the time was discriminating lots of people from all over the world. So I didn't want to be, it was much more about the fact that he belonged here rather than where he came from.
और अगर आप आज भी ऑस्ट्रेलिया के ग्रामीण और सुदूरवर्ती इलाकों में निकल जाएं, तो इन ऊंटवानों की कहानियां पत्थरों, रास्तों और हवाओं में सुनाई देगी.